Take your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm chapter 67. Psalm chapter 67. We've entitled our challenge before our prayer time, A Psalm for Missions. A Psalm for Missions. Reading from verse 1, this psalm of seven verses, Psalm chapter 67, reading from the King James Version, God be merciful unto us, and bless us, cause His face to shine upon us, Selah, that Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God, let all the people praise Thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously, and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. This psalm, written by David, develops two wonderful themes in the Word of God for us as we look at it this evening. It develops the theme of God's mercy, and it develops the theme of the future universal worship of God. A psalm for missions. The Lord has given us a command for missions. I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but I'd like to just present a threefold view of missions before we get into Psalm 67. First of all, there's the command from above for missions. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Lord uttered those statements as He was ascending into heaven, and He was challenging, giving the marching orders for the church, the command from above, missions. But then I want you to notice there's the cry from beneath for missions. Have you ever looked at Luke chapter 16 and the rich man and Lazarus? And we recall the rich man from hell crying out, Send someone to my brethren, and give them the message so that they might not come where I am. Folks, when it comes to missions, missions ought to be vascular to the body of Christ. Wherever you cut it, it ought to bleed missions. We have the command from above, go into all the world. We have the cry from beneath, from hell, Go to my brethren. How many lost loved ones, even from our own families, if they could be given the privilege of utterance just one time for all eternity future, do you know what their request would be? Please go to so-and-so. Please go to your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your grandfather, your grandmother, they who still have a chance, because I don't. That would be, I assure you, with all biblical certainty, that would be their request. Missions. The command from above, the cry from beneath, but then also, number three, there's the call from without. Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. You recall the Macedonian call. Come on over to Macedonia and help us. The call from without. All over the world, there are needs for people to hear the gospel. Like the songwriter said, people need the Lord. Gentile or Jew, That covers everybody. All people need the Lord. And the psalm that we're looking at in Psalm 67 can be divided into three categories, three observations that just briefly I want to develop. There's a prayer, there's a plea, and then there's the prospect. And I want us to look at verses 1 and 2 at a prayer, first of all. There's a prayer in verses 1 and 2. There's a prayer for mercy in verse 1, and there's a prayer for missions in verse 2. You know, we all need mercy from the Lord. Mercy is the withholding of what we deserve, isn't it? Notice what it says about mercy. God be merciful unto us. You know, you need mercy. If God gave you what you deserved, you wouldn't be here. You'd be writhing in the lake of fire for all eternity. Even the creature comforts that you enjoy, heat for tonight and a cold night, air conditioned in your office on an uncomfortably warm day, everything, it's common grace. But then there's that grace that God has exemplified towards us at Calvary. And the withholding of what we deserve, Jesus took upon Himself on the cross for us. But it said, God be merciful unto us. That's what we need. We need mercy. If we got justice, you know what would happen to us. Next time you say something's not fair against you, next time you don't get what you think you deserve, be thankful that you didn't get what you deserve in this arena here. It says, be merciful unto us and bless us. You know, we need God's mercy. We need God's blessing. Our little flock needs God's blessing. Your family needs God's blessing. But you know, that blessing's not going to come if we as heads of homes, if we as wives, husbands, children, are not really abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, seeking the things of the Lord. That blessing, that needs to be there. Cause His face to shine upon us. The prayer for mercy. Let's pray that for tonight. Lord, have mercy upon our failures, our failings. And Lord, bless us. We need Your blessing. We need Your grace in our lives. But then there's another prayer, prayer for missions, in verse 2. Notice, why does he ask for mercy? Why does he ask for blessing? Is it to consume it on his lust? No, that thy way may be known upon the earth. Lord, if you can bless me, if you can exercise mercy in my life, the greatest desire I'll have is to make your way known. Boy, how is that for a motive for the hand of God to bless? A lot of times people ask for God's hand to bless so that they can go on a Caribbean cruise. Nothing wrong with going on a Caribbean cruise. If any of you want to go on a Caribbean cruise, hey, great. I'd be happy for you. But the point is, you want God's blessing on your life, not just for fleeting matters, but it ought to be so that I can do your work most effectively, whatever that may be. That thy way may be known upon the earth. How about praying, Lord, make my way prosperous, even financially, so that I can give more to missions? Boy, wouldn't that be a real prayer? Lord, bless me financially so that I can invest in the kingdom of God. Boy, thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all the nations. You know, people today are health conscious. Not everybody, but a lot of them are. And there's an increase in, you know, everybody's interested in physical health. But you know what? We need saving health. We need salvation. And our prayer, the prayer in verses 1 and 2, ought to be for mercy, yes, but for missions. And for people to come to know the Lord. Who is it that needs the Lord? All the nations. All the nations need to come. The goyim, all the nations, the ethnos, all ethnic groups need the Lord. So there's a prayer in verses 1 and 2. Now, the second division that we see here in verses 3 through 5 is a plea. We have a plea here. And notice in verse 3 and in verse 5, we have here the request, and this is a plea, for universal worship. Universal worship. And you know, this is actually going to be fulfilled eschatologically, prophetically, at the establishment of the millennial kingdom of the Lord. Don't believe these people that say that the kingdom is to be spiritualized and it's really Christ ruling and reigning in your heart. Or, well, it's actually fulfilled in the church. The Word of God is speaking of a literal kingdom that the Lord is going to establish upon the earth. And in the book of Ezekiel, the dimensions of the temple are given, and that is not to be allegorized. It says here, "Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee." His plea is, "Lord, I want to be involved in missions so much." You want to know why I want to be involved in missions, Lord? I want to be involved in missions so that the more people that praise You and know You, the more fulfilled and happy I am, because I'm bringing to You what You deserve. How's that for a motive for soul winning? You know, it's not to pack a pew. It's not to be listed on the denominational's top 10. But Lord, You deserve worship and honor. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I'm leaving that track at the table. That's why I'm talking to that person in the town where I'm doing my wash on Main Street, you know, as a college student or wherever I might be. That's why I want to lead people to Christ so that they can be part of the bride of Christ and in eternity bring glory to the Lord. The prayer, the plea. And you know, and look at verse 5 again. It's a repetitious of verse 3, isn't it? Verse 3 and verse 5 is pretty important. It's repeated, isn't it? "Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee." Everyone. As many people as you can share the Word of God with. That was David's plea. And then, you know, it was another part to his plea in verse 4. His plea was, "Lord, Thy kingdom come." You know, the old prayer that's given to us in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke. "Thy kingdom come." That long anticipated kingdom. Look at verse 4. "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth." That's fulfilled when Jesus Christ comes to establish His kingdom. Coming from the Christmas holiday that we've observed, we're all familiar with Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, "The government shall be upon His shoulder, and of the increase of His government there shall be peace and there shall be no end." So you see, his plea is, "Lord, may all nations praise Thee." But I realize that's not fully going to happen until the kingdom is established. Why? Because no unredeemed shall enter into that kingdom. So we see a prayer in verses 1 and 2. Then we see a plea in verses 3 through 5. Let's conclude now looking at verses 6 and 7. And this is kind of looking towards the future. We can call it the prospect. What's he looking forward to here? You know, when you're in a right relationship with the Lord and you have His blessing and you're on your knees in prayer and you're pleading your heart out before the Lord, you can expect blessing. And the prospect is divine blessing in our lives. Look at verse 6. "Then shall the earth yield her increase." You know, we need to understand this with millennial context. You recall in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 13, Isaiah 55 and verse 13, you have the verse, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be a sign for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off, and we know that the desert shall blossom like a rose, and all of that concept. But you know, I might also, if you would give me the permission to just kind of allegorize a little bit here, that you know, when the Lord is ruling and reigning in your heart, there's a blossoming in your heart. There's a bubbling forth in your heart that people know that, hey, you have a joy. You have a fruit. You have a tree of life. The righteous are a tree of life. Why? Because others can partake of your fruit and be blessed, you see. So in a sense, I don't have to wait till the millennium for the enjoyment of blessing, because I'm a chronological phenomenon. I'm a child of the kingdom. And I can serve the Lord, and I can have the prospect of divine blessing in my life. And it says, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. We know when the Lord is ruling and reigning upon that throne, He'll reign in righteousness. But don't wait for that prophetic event. Let Him rule and reign in your heart right now as well. Then look at verse 7, continuing with the subject of divine blessing. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. What a blessed... We know what is going to happen during the kingdom period. But you know, God's children ought not to wait that long to begin praising the Lord and asking for His blessing. Folks, remember the mission call. This is not going to be accomplished without missions. Oh, God is all-powerful. What are you saying, Pastor John? Yes, He is all-powerful, but He uses people. He used people to save you, and He used people to save me. We're laborers together with God. A psalm for missions. Why the urgency for Central Florida Bible Church? Because of the call, the command from above, the cry from beneath, and also the cry from without. People need the Lord. People, homes that are in shambles, right now, across the street, down the way, people that will providentially pick up that track that you might have an opportunity to talk to minister to. What a joy to be able to be laborers together with God. Remember, missions is vascular. Every single ministry that we have, whether it's having a coffee and donut party, or a women's fellowship, or a men's get-together, or whatever the case might be, it always ought to be, ultimately, with one of the goals of having an outreach and a challenge to be reaching people for Christ. And if we have an activity, we ought to seek to invite unsaved to it. We need to use every available opportunity. Why? So that people will come to Christ, and Christ will receive the glory and honor and praise that He deserves. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word, and thank You, Father, for David's example as he shares a prayer, a plea, and the prospect of the fact that the best is yet to come. And Lord, we believe that with all of our hearts. And if we do believe that the best is yet to come, we need to be getting ready for that, and we need to be getting people ready for that. Help us, Lord, not to be self-satisfied in the fact that I'm saved and my family's saved. Lord, there are other people that need to come to Christ. Use us, Lord. Give us the joy of seeing souls come to Christ, even this week. May everyone listening to my voice, Lord, be laborers together with God. And if some do not know Christ as Savior, may this be the time that missions begins in their heart by receiving Christ as personal Savior. We'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.